Now, you're not going to be a very positive advocate of margarine, are you?
What would make you say that, Trevor?
Because you like fat, like because you see the beneficial effects behind things like butter and the fat content being good, where other people say the fat content's not good. But before we get into that, can you just tell us a little bit about the history of margarine?
It's kind of interesting, I think, that, you know, margarine was invented by a Frenchman. And when you think of you know, fat and butter especially, France is one of the countries you think of straight away. And what was going on in France, he actually invented it in 1869. And there was a cattle plague, and so they had a problem having supplies of milk to make butter, and the army was looking for a way to make a cheap fat to feed the army. And so Napoleon III launched a competition, and a French chemist, a Monsieur Meige Morier, won the competition and took out a patent for his margarine that consisted of, listen to this list of ingredients, Trevor, chopped sheep stomach, suet, cow's udders, potassium carbonate, water, and some milk for flavor. I don't know how good it tasted, but he won the competition. But before he could exploit his new invention, war broke out. The Franco-Prussian War broke out, so he sold his patent to the Dutch, who were the first big producers of margarine.
Do we know what it looked like?
I would think it would look something like a block of lard.
So white, probably.
It was probably pale in colour because the colour from in butter comes from what the cows eat, right? Mm. It comes from the grasses and the flour, so it's probably pale in colour. And that's always been margarine's problem, or at the beginning, because when it was first introduced, most countries, the butter lobby was so strong that they weren't allowed to put any colour in. So it was kind of this yucky kind of white stuff that people weren't very attracted to.
So if it then gets sold on and then gets used by the Dutch, how does it then start to, then where does it, because one of the, when we were talking about this the other day, somebody said that it was introduced in World War II as well.
Well, it was introduced in lots of, it was there, but nobody liked it, right? I mean, you know, it was cheap, but, you know, nobody wanted to eat it.
Because, oh, so it was, you know, it was on the domestic market.
Yeah, but, you know, people weren't eating it because it didn't look that great and they had no reason to. And then during the war, I would imagine there was less butter available. And then what really boosted margarine, you know, popularity was when it got linked to being better for you, and butter got, people said butter was bad and margarine was good because it was made, it, the list of ingredients changed from those animal ingredients to basically vegetable oils. Like at the beginning of the 20th century, they learned how to get the oil out of seeds and grains, and then they made that into margarine.
Okay, so they, so it changed from being made of, I don't know, pig's guts and cow's udders and
cow's guts.
Anything.
It no longer did it have those delicious ingredients in it. It became actually a mixture, basically, of vegetable oil and water. And what in that process happened is trans fats were added. The way the process was done, the aligning of the oxygen molecules, don't ask me, I'm not a chemist, which would made it into a solid, right? Because otherwise it would be liquid, because vegetable oil is liquid at room temperature. So then it became solid at room temperature, and you had this fat that didn't go off. That's what they said, you know. So,
because one of the comments that was made when we were talking about this the other day was that it was either introduced, tried to be introduced into either England or America. I can't remember which one, but they flatly refused to have it in their country.
That's interesting. I don't know. It was in the States in the 1880s, so maybe it was the UK, because Mark Twain writes about it in The Life on the
Really?
Mississippi. Yeah, he writes about fat and how it was this wonderful thing he saw and how all these people were going to make a fortune off it because it was so cheap to produce and it was better than butter.
I've got a question here that says, apparently margarine is one chemical away from being plastic and insects such as flies won't go near it as they do with butter.
I don't know that that's true, but I don't go near it either.
Yeah, because this is one of the things that someone mentioned the other day, again on the radio, was that ants won't go near it. You can leave a tub of margarine out and ants won't go near it because they don't consider it to be food.
Well, yeah, I think probably ants are pretty smart, right?
Why don't you like it?
I don't see any point to it, personally. I don't know what's wrong with butter. Butter's delicious and tasty, and unless you had some allergy to butter, why would you even want margarine in your life?
See, the big thing is that it gets the big tick from the Heart Foundation, and one of the reasons that a lot of people moved to margarine was through the advertising campaigns for low cholesterol.
Yes, that's true, but it's not proven, and it's never been proven. And there's lots of studies that I could cite for you that it shows no link between, you know, saturated fat and heart disease, and that's the problem with butter because everyone says it's a saturated fat. Well, it's got saturated and unsaturated fats in it, but it's just interesting now. There was a recent study that came out this year and said that by replacing butter with margarine, we're actually doing ourselves more harm and probably increasing our risk of heart disease and cardiovascular problems, because the problem with margarine is it's full of vegetable oil, which is very high in omega-6. And that too much omega-6 in our body can be very dangerous for us.
Wasn't it another bad thing about it? I don't know if it still exists, but a while ago, in that it was full of other bad fats?
Yes, that's when they made it solid. And it was full of then trans fats. And what most margarine manufacturers have done recently is they've improved the process, so they've minimized the amount of trans fats in margarine. But I think there is still some. The trans fats is what makes it solid.
Yeah, and you see, for many of us like me, I only get margarine sometimes. Well, I get it most of the time because I'm lazy and it's easy to spread.
Well, I think that's why, you know, a lot of people use it because they can spread it straight out of the fridge.
Yeah.
But you can also spread butter straight out of the fridge. It just requires you scraping your knife across the top and breaking the molecules down, and you'll get very thin pieces of butter, and you can spread those.
It's not as easy.
No, but is ease better than health?
Yeah, well, yeah, probably. Probably. That's got nothing to do with it. Brenda's gone. Brenda wanted to say that she got a letter from her doctor saying to use margarine.
Well, I think there's a lot of misinformation. I'm not a doctor, so I can't tell Brenda what to use one way or the other. There's a lot of misinformation. People thought and they really believed that margarine was better for them, but there was never any really good studies. And in the last couple of years, there have been a lot of very good studies, and they are showing that there's no benefits to substituting margarine for butter. In fact, you can do yourself a lot of harm. And, you know, all those ticks and endorsements by various associations are usually paid for. So I'm always very suspect about those kind of things. There's a lot of money to be made in the business of margarine. It's very cheap to produce. And,
the only reason that I use margarine is because it's easy to spread. That's really the only reason.
Well, that's not a good reason.
No, maybe isn't. Hello, Robert.
Hello. Yeah, I won't eat margarine. It makes me sick. The slightest touch of it makes me sick. It's all right if it's cooked in something. Yeah, but apart from that, I won't eat it. And margarine started with Napoleon with animal fat.
Yeah, we were just talking about that, made of all sorts of horrible things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently it's black when it's made.
Now, that's the other thing I was going to ask you. Is that true that it's black when it's very first made and they have to put a lot of colouring in it to make it look palatable, Jennifer?
That I don't know. I have no idea that it might be black. I'm not sure why it would be black. It might have been black when it was made originally under Napoleon III out of tripe, because tripe, unless it's bleached, is black. But
okay.
I'm not sure. No, I'm not sure if it would be black when it was first made.
Tex is saying canola margarine is able to be made into plastic, as canola oil is refined into making plastic shampoo bottles. Oh, there we are. Thanks, Glenna.
Yeah, well, canola oil is, you know, the big Canadian oil. It used to be called rapeseed oil, and they changed it for marketing reasons.
Maria, good morning.
Hi, Trev.
Yes, Maria.
Oh, one of the best things you ever mentioned or that I heard you say was concerning the tick.
Hmm.
And the Heart Foundation. And I don't know whether callers are aware that there are many products out there with the tick, but those companies pay for the privilege of using that logo. to the Heart Foundation. That's how they raise their revenue.
Maria, but to be fair to the Heart Foundation, and I don't know if you're going to agree with me or not, Jennifer, you can't just get a tick just by paying the money. It still has to go through a process to be proven that it's good for you or healthy as well.
Yeah, but you buy a tub of ice cream that's very low fat, got the tick, and it's high in sugar.
Oh, yeah, so there are definitely, because they will say that it gets the tick because it's low in fat.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's good for you.
No.
Look, there have been big conversations about the Heart Foundation ticks, Jennifer.
Oh, the same here, the same all around the world. And I think the thing is, they probably do get through a process and everything, but the thing is that the consumer sees that and thinks, as Paula said, that it's good for you. It might just mean that it has low fat. But if it's full of sugar, it doesn't mean it's good for you.
I changed from margarine to lower my cholesterol, and for whatever reason, my cholesterol reading, which I get checked regularly, has gone down from 6 to 4.7. And I do like the taste, so go figure, says Uncle Mick. Well, it could be.
Yep, exactly. For some people, it does work, though. My understanding is it's pretty hard to lower your cholesterol with your diet, you know, but lots of things play a role. Maybe you eat less margarine than you eat butter or something like that.
Tony said butter's very good for you. It makes you feel contented, just like a cow.
It also has, you know, it also has omega-3 in it, the healthy fat that's in fish, you know. If the cows eat grass, there's omega-3 in there. And they've done lots of studies. There's, like, things that fight cancer and fight disease in butter. You know, butter's not just saturated fat. It's full of really good things. Plus, it tastes delicious.
Annie, very quickly.
Absolutely no scientific ideological preferences about margarine. Just a ditty I remember from childhood. I think it's an Irish one by the Clancy Brothers. Childhood ditty. Ahem, ahem, me mother has gone to church. She told me not to play with you because you're in the dirt. Tisn't because you're dirty. Tisn't because you're clean. It's because you got the hoop and cough and you eat margarine.
That's not a strong endorsement. So people were actually put down because of their love of margarine around that time as well. Jennifer, so, I mean, what you're saying is that why eat something that's made chemically when you can have something that tastes better naturally?
Exactly. And I think also we should think about reducing the amount of vegetable oils we have in our diet. It's increased dramatically in the last century, and it's been linked to a lot of bad disease. I think you can have some margarine, you can have some butter, but I think, you know, butter's a good natural product. It's delicious.
All right, I'll stop being lazy and I'll go and get butter.
Take a little bit out of the fridge, like, if, you know, before you need your toast.
Jennifer, thank you very much.
Thanks, Trevor.
Jennifer McClaggan, who joins us as a food writer and also author.